scripture here before us today, and so we'll just take a little bit of time here this morning, kind of look at this mama who was in need, and celebrate a little bit of what all mothers are willing to do for their little ones. So once you have found 2 Kings chapter number 4, if you're able to, if you please, would join us in standing and in the reading of God's holy word. And it is wonderful to get to say that after all these weeks. And we are going to begin our reading here in verse number 18. And we'll read down through verse 23, pray and see what the Lord's got for us today. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well." And we're going to pause our reading right there this morning. What I'd like to do, good Lord being our helper, is bring our sermon on this thought here of moments that define mom. Moments that define mom. Again, Father in heaven, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. And we're each one of us, we're thankful for our mother. Because without her, we wouldn't be here. But without you as well, we wouldn't be here as well. And we thank you, Father, for that wonderful gift of our mother. And we do pray, Father, for each and every one that perhaps is missing their mother today because their mother's gone on to their reward. Pray that you'd be with them, Father, please. And those of us who still have our mama here, help us to be more grateful, more caring toward our own mamas. As one day they may not be here for us. But I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've blessed us with. Thank you. Well, that's it for now, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we're praying. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Some moments that define mom. As much as we would love for everything to go right in our lives, and let's all face facts, we love when everything goes right in our lives, there tends to be those times when things start to go south. They're going sideways on us. Next thing you know, the bottom is just falling completely out from underneath us. And it just kind of messes up our groove. And moms tend to take that on the chin a little bit harder than dads do. Dads have their ability to go to work, get away from it all, but mama, she's there around the kids all the time. And something goes wrong with the kids, I mean, she's got a greater attachment, generally speaking, than daddy does. And even here as we read through the scripture here, our very first verse of our text, that when the child was grown, we're not talking about a 20-year-old child here. Most scholars believe that this boy was anywhere between 6 and 8 years old when this happened. And he went out there and daddy's working out in the field. He's got the reapers out there working in the field. He's little man. He's going to go out there. He's going to go help daddy out and all this. And it's believed that he actually suffered from heat stroke that day. We ain't got no proof of it, but just going by what is described here in the text. And what happens? Daddy says, take him to his mother. Get him to mama. Mama, who for years had been content with her life, now she's got this son. Now all of a sudden she's got this little boy in her arms. And he's not getting better. As a matter of fact, very quickly he expires. It's not what any parent wants. It's always supposed to be the parents that go first, and then the children are supposed to bury the parents, not the parents burying the children. And it's soul crushing. But this is a woman who had a pretty good amount of faith. This is a woman here who said, I've had my moments in the past. I will have my moments in the future. I'm going through a moment right now. And I intend to go through the moment right now. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to sit here and cry, woe is me, and nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm going to do my best to actually do something about it. As I think about this here, I remember it was about 20 to 11 when my wife called me. She said, have you seen Facebook this morning? It's like, no, what are you talking about? And she told me about that Heather Moore had made a video requesting prayer for her son Josh. And Josh is his early 20s. A fine young man, you know, and I know he's been having issues here lately. I understand that there's something going on. I still don't know exactly what it is. But Mama has done all she could. She took him to the first ER. She took him to the second ER. And now she's sitting here. She's calling out and saying, hey, I need some prayers. I need some help. I'm exercising my faith right now. I'm going through a moment at this particular juncture in time that's beyond me. And I need God's intervention. Reminds me so much of the Shunammite woman here. This moment she understood she needed God. This is a woman here who started off, she was content. If we back up to verse number 13, she's built this this prophet chamber for Elisha whenever he'd come by. And Elisha's wanting to thank her for what she's done. And he's had Gehazi go bring her so they can talk. In verse 13, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my people. She wasn't someone who was out looking for personal gain. She wasn't someone who was out there saying, hey, I want everybody to look at me. I want everybody to notice what I am going through, because what I am going through is so much more than you. She said, no, I'm content to dwell among my own people. She did Elisha a great honor by building the prophet chamber there on the house so he'd have a place to stay when he passed through. So he says, hey, you know, you want me to have a word with the king about you, to get you some extra protection? You want me to talk to the captain of the guard to make sure that they do extra patrols in your neighborhood to make sure that no one does any damage, anything like this? And she says, I don't want you to worry about that. I've got my reward. I'm serving the Lord. And serving Him is reward enough for me. Elisha and Gehazi kept talking though, and Gehazi pointed out, say, you know, she ain't got a child. Her husband is old. Well, my first thought every time I have read through that is like, well, it's an older couple, so we're talking like a Zacharias and Elizabeth type deal here. You know, they're up there in age, they can't have kids. Abraham and Sarah, they're up there in age, they can't have kids. That's not what the Bible says. And the Bible says that he was old. We're actually looking at something a little bit closer to being a Boaz and Ruth type relationship. Only she's the one who's rich and he's still old. Reminds me of a joke, but I'm not going to tell you right now because some of you may not care for it. But anyways, this is a woman who was content. But God had a calling for her. For her life. Not just to build a prophet chamber for the man of God to have a place to stay in. And I recognize this, and let me just get this out front. I recognize that any two fools can go out there and make a kid, generally speaking. But it's still a calling because there are so many who are barren. Moms who, or women, let me put it that way because they're not moms. Women who simply cannot have children. Men who simply cannot have children. You may be fortunate enough to have one, two, three, a dozen kids, whatever the case it may be in your situation there. But it's a calling for you to have the first one, let alone any others that come after that. It says here in verse number 16, and he said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Now, this was not a case here of that they could have had children and they elected not to have children. There are also those types of people out there. This is a matter of she has understood the opportunity for her one way or the other has already passed, and she's not going to sit here and get her hopes up about it. But God says, I've got a calling for you in your life, and it is now time for you to stand up and accept that calling that has taken place here in your life, and you're going to be called a mother here in this time, according to the time of life. 9 months from now, whatever the case is, when Elisha would come back a year from now, she was going to have her a baby. Whether it was a newborn or a couple months old, I don't know. But she was going to have this. This was another moment that had defined her as a woman. The moment that defined her as mama. She'd already been content, defined as a content woman. Now she's being defined in this moment as a called woman, as a mother. And that seems wonderful. Seems great. Until you get to that point where mama's kiss on the boo-boo doesn't heal it. Mommy, I got an owie here on my elbow. And mommy bends down and kisses it. Mommy, I don't feel good, so mommy's got to take the little one, put him in bed, pull up the blankets on, stick the thermometer in the mouth, or however they're doing it nowadays. And you got a little temperature, you got to stay home. Here's the remote, turn on the Price is Right. Here's a can of 7-Up, and some saltine crackers, and chicken noodle soup. Amen. That cures just about everything, at least as it used to. But it didn't in this case. Because the moment, as we began reading about here in our text, came upon her where she had to cradle her son. Verse 19. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She didn't bother putting him in the bed. She didn't lay him there on the couch to watch television. No, mama cradled him. Mama loved on him the best she could. I imagine that she, in her wisdom that she had gained, that she had come to recognize this ain't good. This ain't something he's just going to get over by taking him a 2-hour-long nap here. So she cradled him, and her heart was right there. She was not cold-hearted about it. She was giving her full heart, her full being there into her child, probably even praying and asking God to deliver her child there. But she wasn't worried about feeling sorry for herself. She was too busy cradling that little one who needed mama at the time. Kind of like how Heather posted that video about Josh. Adult son, but she's still mama. Don't matter how old they get. Some of you ladies may agree with me on that one. Don't matter how old they get, they're still your little boy, still your little girl. Or your little 13-year-old demon-possessed child like I got at home. Y'all need to stop being so mean to my little Quinn. I was trying to be nice there. Sorry, AJ. But you know what Mama did, though, after she got done cradling him? She committed him to the Lord. Look with me here in verse number 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Notice that she went up to the man of God's room. Now, his room was not on the same level as theirs. You read earlier on there in the chapter, and he was built upon the wall there, so probably more up on top of the roof itself, and the only way to get there was to go outside of the house, up the stairs leading to the top there, and then come into the room. And that's where she took the child. That's where she took her son, her only son, and laid him upon his bed. Not upon mama's bed, not upon daddy's bed, but upon the man of God's bed, because she was symbolically saying, I'm turning this over to God. And how many times have we been taking prayer requests, and we've heard
someone there. They're praying for their child. They're praying for their son. They're praying for their daughter. And the mess that they've gotten themselves into. And they're committing their child there to the Lord God Almighty. And they're saying, I'm doing all that I can. And I'm bringing them to the throne of grace. I'm laying them there on the altar, Lord. My spouse, I'm laying there on the altar. What, my finances, I'm laying there on the altar. It don't matter. But here, Mama is committing her child to the Lord God. Lord, I've done all I can up to this point. Now I'm doing the rest that I can do. And I'm trusting Him to You. That's a mother's love right there. That's the moment that she was in. She could have done whatever she wanted. She could have went out and buried Him. She could have went out and told her husband, He died. She committed Him to the Lord. She committed herself to having faith in that moment. And it was defining. And you know what else? The calendar meant nothing to her. Look with me in verse 23. And He said, Wherefore wilt thou go to Him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. They celebrated the new moon there in Israel. Well, what they would do with the new moon, their calendar is based off a lunar calendar. That's why they've got 13 months instead of 12 like us and all that good stuff there. The first of the month, when you got a full new moon, and they would have a feast to celebrate. And if there were clouds and they couldn't see the moon, guess what? The feast got brought over to the next day too, because they were going to celebrate the start of the new month. So the husband says, hey, it ain't the new moon. It ain't the time to get together there. He says, it ain't the Sabbath day. It ain't Saturday. You don't need to be going to church. You don't need to be taking and bothering the man of God. There's a select day. For us Christians, we might say, well, it ain't Sunday. We can't do that. It ain't this particular holiday, that particular holiday. It don't matter. She said, the calendar's thrown out the window. I'm not worried about what that's got to say. All I'm worried about is getting to God and bringing my problems to Him and making it known there. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But if you don't get it out there, how much faith are you really exercising? That's why we take up our prayer requests. We're exercising faith by even bringing it up there. Sometimes some of that stuff is just a little bit on the embarrassing side to say. But by speaking up, we're exercising faith and we are seeing something happen. This woman's saying that we're going to see something great happen here. I got a feeling that this woman sat there and said, I never wanted this boy. I'm glad that I've got him. And since I didn't want him and God still gave him to me, God is not done with this calling yet on my life. And I don't care what the calendar has to say. I don't care what my husband has to say. I don't care what the servants have to say. I don't care what my countrymen have to say. I am going to the Lord God Almighty there, and I'm going to bring it to Him. And if He don't want me to be His mama anymore, then He's going to have to be the one to sit there and tell me it's over with. Until then, He is the one responsible for bringing my boy back to me. How many moms and dads have done that during times of war? It's the Lord who's going to have to bring my child back to me. May I say that this mama, Miss Maudia, this mama was a mama because she was callous toward herself. Verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not for thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Buster, put it in gear, let's get going. I don't care how bumpy of a ride it's going to be for me. I don't care how hard it is on my body as we are going along there. I don't care if I'm looking like I might fall off. Unless I'm about to fall, don't stop. We've got to get going. I don't care what the toll it takes on me. All I know is I've got to get to the Lord God Almighty. I've got to get to His representative. I've got to get to where my help is. Mamas, come on, come on. Think about how many times you've done something that it caused you pain to do, but it was for your child. Therefore, you did it. That suffering you did. How many times you gone and, oh, here's dessert. Mama, ain't you eating none? No, I'm trying to watch my figure. Knowing all along you'd love to get you a slice, but there was no slices left. Come on. We can be honest here. I see a couple smiling faces. I ain't that blind. We put ourselves out for our children, grandchildren, all that good stuff there. Being little cows toward us because they're little. You're not little. You're just trouble. She wasn't worried about the pain for herself, though. Her son was what she was worried about. Verse 26, we see her simply cutting to the chase. Now, Elisha's told Gehazi, there's that Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she said, my husband, he's doing great. And, he's got this new project he's working on. And I just, I got me a new cookbook and I started cooking. Oh, by the way, the child's dead. No. And she answered, it is well. If I could, she basically, Gehazi comes up to her. Hey, is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? Buster, get out of my way. I'm going this way. Verse 27, she's cutting to the chase. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. She put Gehazi to the side, and now she is prostrating herself. She is falling down on her face there, and she's grabbing hold of the man of God's ankles there, grabbing hold of his feet. I'm not letting go until we get to talking. Gehazi comes up there. Hey, you can't be doing that to him. And Elisha says, back off. Something's going on here. She is prostrating herself. She is cutting to the chase. You know, it is. When was the last time, church, we sat here and instead of trying to be all flowery with our prayers, trying to be all pious with our prayers, trying to make sure we're taking care of everybody else's prayers first before we casually mention ours, Lord, and I need this, amen. When was the last time we just sat down and we were honest with God? Says, God, I know everybody else has got problems, but right now I need to cut to the chase. I need to get straight to you about this particular problem that is plaguing me, and I need some help here. So, preacher, that's not right. It was right for her. Why can't it be right for us too? Yeah, not all the time, but we do have those moments when we need to actually go straight to God and tell Him what's going on. Because that's what she did. Verse 28, she poured out her heart. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You notice how she didn't say the child was dead, though. No. She told Gehazi, it is well, and now she's pouring out her heart there. She says, I didn't want a son to begin with. Did I not tell you, don't lie to me? Now I've got a son, but he's dead there. Elisha put two and two together. He wasn't a complete idiot like me. Y'all can say amen to that, that's fine. Elisha knew what was going on there. She's pouring out her heart, and she knew what she had to do. She said what she had to say, and now she is clinging to God. Verse 28 again. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She went from telling her husband, it shall be well, to telling Gehazi, it is well, to sticking with the one who will make it well. From here on, Elisha tells Gehazi, here's my staff. Don't talk to anybody on the way. You get up there and you lay that staff there upon the child. I'll come as quickly as I can. I'm an old coot and it's going to take me a little while longer. She says, I'm not departing from you. I'm staying right there with you. How many times have we gone to God in prayer and we prayed for something specifically there and everything looks like it might be good, so we stop praying before we get the full answer? God says, cling to me. It might be a long moment before you get the answer, but cling to Him. What'd she get? She got her son back. By the way, she didn't just get her son back. If you read on, go to chapter number 8, you find that Gehazi is talking to the king. And the king says, hey, tell me some of the events, the things that Elisha did in his life. And he says, well, there was a Shunammite woman and her son died and Elisha brought him back to life. Oh, look who's walking in the door now. It's that woman and her son. Apparently daddy was dead by then. Oh, king, we need help. We had to do our land for a little while and leave during the famine. We've come back. We'd like to get our land back, but that guy won't let us do it. The king says, take the captain and the guard, go over there and get her land back for her and everything that's due to her. She got everything, church, that was offered up. Maybe if we'll cling to God just at least a little bit more in those moments that are bothering us, we're going to end up getting more than we're expecting to. Maybe we won't, but maybe we will. But Mama, how many of you sat there while I was up here preaching and you thought about that one moment or two moments, whatever? Yeah, I remember what God did there. Yeah, I remember how it just didn't look like anything was going to work. But then God said, it is well. I've got just two questions in closing here this morning for you. Mama and Daddy, are you setting forth a good example of always trusting God? Number two, are we truly trusting God with our children, or do we just say that we are? We're going to set an example, and it's going to affect generations because of what we do with our moments. Father in heaven, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. Believe, Lord, that this is a sermon you'd have us to bring to your people, and we're praying that everyone here will have gotten exactly what it is that they needed out of it, and that you'll help us all to go forward in the strength and the power that you have available for us, that we will cling to you, that when those moments come and they start to threaten to overwhelm us, that we'll rely on you, that we'll turn to you. It may put us out. It may not be what we want. But you can work it out for us. Help us, Father, please. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray.